Let my mouth be full of your praise.
And your glory all day long.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
Let us pray. O God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, you are the city that shelters us, the mother who comforts us. With your Spirit, accompany us on our life's journey, that we may spread your peace in all the world through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Please be seated as we listen to the word proclaimed.
A reading from Isaiah. Rejoice with Jerusalem and be glad for her, all you who love her. Rejoice with her in joy, all you who mourn over her, that you may nurse and be satisfied from her consoling breast, that you may drink deeply with delight from her glorious bosom. For thus says the Lord, I will extend prosperity to her like a river, and the wealth of the nations like an overflowing stream. And you shall nurse and be carried on her arm and dandled on her knees. As a mother comforts her child, so I will comfort you. You shall be comforted in Jerusalem. You shall see, and your heart shall rejoice. Your bodies shall flourish like the grass. And it shall be known that the hand of the Lord is with his servants, and his indignation is against his enemies. The word of the Lord. Let us pray Psalm 66 responsively. Be joyful in God, all you lands. Be joyful, all the earth.
Sing the glory of God's name. Sing the glory of God's praise.
Say to God, how awesome are your deeds. Because of your great strength, your enemies cringe before you.
All the earth bows down before you. Sings to you. Sings out your name.
Come now and see the works of God. How awesome are God's deeds toward all people.
God turned the sea into dry land, so that they went through the water on foot, and there we rejoiced in God.
Ruling forever in might, God keeps watch over the nations. Let no rebels exalt themselves.
Bless our God, you peoples. Let the sound of praise be heard.
Our God has kept us among the living and has not allowed our feet to slip.
Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen.
A reading from Galatians. My friends, if anyone is detected in a transgression, you who have received the Spirit should restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness. Take care that you yourselves are not tempted. Bear one another's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ. For if those who are nothing think they are something, they deceive themselves. All must test their own work. Then that work, rather than their neighbor's work, will become a cause for pride. For all must carry their own loads. Those who are taught the word must share in all good things with their teacher. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked, for you reap what you sow. If you sow to your own flesh, you will reap corruption from the flesh. But if you sow to the Spirit, you will reap eternal life from the Spirit. So let us not grow weary in doing what is right, for we will reap at harvest time, if we do not give up. So then, whenever we have an opportunity, let us work for the good of all, and especially for those of the family of faith. See what large letters I make when I am writing in my own hand. It is those who want to make a good showing in the flesh that try to compel you to be circumcised, only that they may not be persecuted for the cross of Christ. Even the circumcised do not themselves obey the law, but they want you to be circumcised so that they may boast about your flesh. May I never boast of anything except the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by which the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. For neither circumcision nor uncircumcision is anything, but a new creation is everything. As for those who will follow this rule, peace be upon them and mercy and upon the Israel of God, the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Holy Gospel according to Luke. After this, the Lord appointed 70 others and sent them on ahead of him in pairs to every town and place where he himself intended to go. He said to them, "The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, ask the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. Go on your way. See, I am sending you out like lambs into the midst of wolves. Carry no purse, no bag, no sandals, and greet no one on the road. Whatever house you enter, first say, 'Peace to this house.' And if anyone is there who shares in peace, your peace will rest on that person. But if not, it will return to you. Remain in the same house, eating and drinking whatever they provide, for the laborer deserves to be paid. Do not move about from house to house. Whenever you enter a town and its people welcome you, eat what is set before you. Cure the sick who are there, and say to them, 'The kingdom of God has come near to you.' But whenever you enter a town and they do not welcome you, go out into its streets and say, 'Even the dust of your town that clings to our feet, we wipe off in protest against you. Yet know this, the kingdom of God has come near. Whoever listens to you listens to me, and whoever rejects you rejects me, and whoever rejects me rejects the one who sent me.' The 70 returned with joy, saying, 'The Lord, in your name, even the demons submit to us.' He said to them, 'I watched Satan fall from heaven like a flash of lightning. See, I have given you authority to tread on snakes and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing will hurt you. Nevertheless, do not rejoice at this, that the spirits submit to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven.'" The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you.
My sister and brother-in-law were visiting us this week, and they're education consultants. They make a lot of business trips. Last year, I think they told me they made 32 or 37 business trips. Every week, almost, they're either packing to get on a plane or to take a car trip somewhere for their business. And they have become quite the proficient at packing. But my brother-in-law was telling me about this new suitcase that he wants to buy. It has a built-in scale. So you can, as you pack it, you can know exactly how much it weighs. And I suppose that prevents those embarrassing at the gate change unpacking and repacking episodes that I have to admit that I have had on occasion, that if a scale were in the suitcase, you would know exactly. When I was a child, we did a lot of camping. And I think of that when I was thinking about packing, because we would have the car in the driveway, And then we'd start putting the things that are going to go into the car and into the trunk. We'd start a little pile behind the car. And the pile got bigger and bigger as everyone started adding the things that each person thought was going to be necessary for the trip. And then came that great task of trying to get everything into the trunk. And I don't ever remember a successful one try. It was always two or three times by the time you put something in, it's not going to fit. You have to take it back out and repack and pack. Why did we have so much? And I think part of the answer is so clear is that we thought we needed to be prepared for every situation. We had to take everything along. Shorts and sandals in case it's hot, jeans and a sweatshirt in case it's not, rain gear and swim gear, hiking boots in case we were feeling real energetic, and good books and crossword puzzles in case we weren't feeling energetic. And then you have to take some dressy clothes in case we're going to go to a restaurant in town or maybe to a theater or something. And, of course, all the food and the drinks and the snacks that go along. There's a lot of stuff that you have to take on a camping trip. Actually, you have to take a lot of stuff when you go on any trip. And it's true for me, and I would bet that it's true for you as well. When you get home from a camping trip or another kind of journey, you find yourself unpacking a lot of things that you never took out of your suitcase. Clothes that you didn't wear, things that you didn't use that were in the suitcase. I don't need a suitcase that weighs itself. I need a suitcase that rejects unnecessary items, that kind of zips itself shut when I try to put in something that I don't need. I open my suitcase when I get to the place I'm going and I go, why did I bring that shirt? I don't even wear that shirt when I'm home. Why did I think I was going to wear it now? I take the wrong thing. Look at Jesus' packing instructions in the gospel today. He's sending out 35 pairs of people to prepare the way. Go and preach and heal and get the folks ready for Jesus' visit. And he tells them, carry no purse, no bag, no sandals. Greet no one on the road. Whatever house you go into, greet them with peace. Remain in that same house, eating and drinking whatever they provide. I think those are pretty intense directions. Go out, take nothing with you, and trust that when you get there, someone will provide what you need. Take nothing with you. Even the airlines aren't that fussy, almost, about what you can carry on the your carry-on luggage. But this seems a little extreme. Well, it is if we're looking at this as packing instructions. But we know Jesus wasn't talking about the stuff that we would actually put in our bag. But look at the meaning behind this. It's all about trust. The 70 disciples who are sent out are supposed to trust that God will provide. Through the people they meet, they will be given what they need. Now, this comes across to me as really good news, that we can trust God to provide what we need. Travel light, and God will provide. Learn to trust God. Pay attention to the goal. It just struck me that Jesus says to these travelers, wear no sandals. That means they're barefoot. That means you can't go very far. That means you have to pay attention to your journey. Don't get encumbered with stuff Jesus says. Not the stuff that you might have in your bag so much, but the stuff that you might have in your head, the stuff that is in your heart. Don't get so encumbered with your stuff that you can make a fast getaway. Pay attention to your surroundings. If you're walking with bare feet along the road, you're going to walk slowly and you're going to, what's the saying? Take time to smell the roses, because you will have a journey of intent going slowly. That's our goal, is to travel lightly so we know what's really important. We can learn to trust God. And I think we spend most of our life doing exactly the opposite, trying to be prepared for every situation, trying to get what we need, relying on ourselves and our own abilities rather than learning to trust God and to trust those people that God has put in our lives. So the goal is to set out in trust. The goal is to rely on God, to keep our eye on the cross, to learn to trust God, and to spread that good news of God's love and God's trust. I know some young couples who, between the two of them, have 4 or 5 jobs in order to earn the income that they think they need to provide for their children. And what happens is that they get so tired out from trying to provide for their family that they have no energy left to be a family, to create a family. They've lost sight of their goal. What is the goal that God gives us? It's not about gaining stuff. It's about letting go and letting God. We need to learn trust. We need to travel light, to put down some of those burdens that we carry. Put down, especially, a burden like guilt or unforgiveness or anger, over concern for others that weigh us down, over concern for the troubles in the world that hold us stuck, that keep us stuck because we're so worried about things that we focus only on ourselves. This passage in the scripture, of course, is not about stuff. It's not about, you know, how to pack more efficiently when you're taking a journey. It's about how to walk lightly in the world, how to trust in God. When we pack too much, all of that weight slows us down, makes us less efficient. When we spend all of our time worried about our stuff, worried that we don't have what we need, then we get stuck. And in order to get unstuck, in order to take those first steps in trust, all we have to do is nothing. That's the really good news, because God has already done it. God has given us His grace. The bottom line is, the only thing I need to pack is my baptism certificate. The only thing I need is my baptism, because God's most amazing grace has been given to us, been poured out on us, that we do have all that we need. Our eyes are on the cross. We know God provides for us in His love, in His abundant grace. The good news is that it's not about stuff, and it's not about how much stuff we have to carry. The good news is always about God's amazing grace that has been given to us in our baptism. Thanks be to God that we can trust in that.